Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Welcome to the Living Savior Church. Good to have each one of you today. Praise the Lord. We're so grateful. Count it all joy.
Amen.
Count it all joy. Life is short, isn't it? Yeah. One thing about it, we all had to be born, and we all are going to die. You know, so you need to get ready for it. You know, it's coming. You know, life is short. You know, I don't care what you do. You know, the Lord promises in His Word. Of course, I know we don't like to hear it, but He said in His Word in Psalms 90, He said, man's life will be between 70 and 80 years. 70 and 80, you know, and some is not going to live quite so long because of sin, and some are going to live a little longer because of obedience. But how many of us are going to die?
All
of us. So get ready for it. The main thing is you just need to make sure that you know Jesus, because I think about my own mother and dad, how they loved the Lord, and they're gone. I mean, my dad was 79 when he went home to be with Jesus. My mother was 83. But they went on to be with Jesus. Now then my sister, which is, I called her this last week. I don't call her near often enough, but I called her this last week and told her that, I said, what are you going to be doing on your birthday? Her birthday is Tuesday. She said, well, Thurman, I've already had my birthday this year. I said, what do you mean you've already had your birthday? She said, well, my daughter and her two daughters paid for me a ticket to Las Vegas. So she said, and they went with me. And so she said, they took me out there Friday afternoon, and we walked all over the city of Las Vegas all day Saturday and all day Sunday, and then got on an airplane Monday afternoon and came back to Dallas. Now, my sister's 85. 85. She would pass easily for 65. I mean, if you were to see her, she's a beautiful, slim, trim, beautiful, gorgeous woman. And her husband, he, or my sister don't know we're close to look close to 85. Her husband, he is a little closer to that. He is only 92. But he didn't go. He stayed at home. But I think that at 85, so I told her, I said, well, Cheryl and I is going to drive down and take you to dinner. I said, I know that on your 80th birthday, we all went down and we flew the 421. We went down to Brownwood and took Tim and my son and his family, and we all took them out to dinner on that night out to Underwood's cafeteria there in Brownwood, a wonderful place to eat. They're very, very good, very inexpensive. So it's a very good place to eat. So we went. But this year, I told Cheryl, I said, just you and me, I'll call them. If there's nothing going on, we'll drive down there Monday and spend the night. We hadn't been down there in quite a while, and we'll take them to dinner Tuesday. And I thought to myself, 85 years old, and her husband, 92, they both live well beyond what God promised, 70 to 80. But, you know, He did say in His Word that if we will obey Him and do what He says, that He will satisfy us with a long life. Did He not? Well, now, I don't know what a long life is to you, and I don't know, you know, how long you want to live. But I can assure you that there will be trials and tests all throughout this time to try to take you out early. You know, because God puts us to the test. Some of us pass the test and some of us do not pass the test. But the Lord did tell us to pray for each other. Did He not? Sometimes we don't pray very much, or sometimes we pray and when we pray, we don't believe it's going to happen. In fact, I had a beautiful young lady come in a while ago that I was standing at the door, and she said, "Pastor, you're not going to believe this." I said, "Oh, I'm not." I said, "So what happened?" She said, "You know, you and your wife prayed for me a job." I said, "I guess you didn't get it." I said, "Tell the Lord right now before you tell me the story that you repent." So she said, "Lord, I repent." I said, "Okay, now that you repented, tell me what happened." She said, "I put in an application for a part-time job. It turned out that they hired me full-time and with more money than I even dreamed that they was going to ever pay me, and that I don't even never have to work on Sunday. I get to work." Oh, she. Now, why did the Lord tell us to pray one for another? Because we have needs, right? So what is wrong with us when we don't believe? What's wrong with us? Say, "Lord, I repent again." Oh, goodness gracious. Pray one for another that you may be healed. He also said that, didn't he? So, but of course, I know none of us as Christians ever have a problem, do we? We never get sick. We never have no problems, do we? Oh, my goodness gracious alive. I've had so many problems in my life. It's just like last night, I told Cheryl. She said, "Is anything wrong with you?" And I guess I kind of limped a little bit or something. And she says, "Is anything wrong with you?" And I said, "Well, my third toe on my right foot is hurting a little bit." Oh, my goodness gracious, I get the 10th degree. All kinds of things. And then she prays for me. And then a while ago, of course, it's getting a whole lot better. You know, I mean, since she prayed for me, and I'd already prayed for myself. But I was standing at the front door a while ago and talking with Jack and Ted. And as we were talking, I mentioned something about my toe. Well, immediately they just swarmed over me and began to pray over me and knelt down on the floor and helped my foot and everything else and prayed over my toe. Now, is that what God told us to do? Yes. I mean, that's what he told us to do. We need to pray over each other. You know, I mean, I get plenty of practice praying, that's for sure. My wife is one of my best projects. She seems to always have something that's bothering her or whatever that I have to pray over. I don't know what the deal is here, but there's something. I don't know. Maybe she's more verbal than I am. Maybe I just don't tell her very often. I have to have something that's, I guess maybe I'm kind of dumb or stupid or whatever. I hate to say that about myself. You know, I repent, Lord, I repent. Boy, one thing about it, this church, you make a mistake, everybody's on your case. Y'all know what the Word says. That's the whole thing, right? When you know what the Word says, you always jump on it, right? When somebody does something, and we're all human, and you know, I'm no different. Y'all need to realize that just because I'm your pastor, I'm still a human being. You know, and I have needs just like you do. You know, there's things go wrong with me just like there is you. And I remember, I want to go over the steps right quick of what the Lord tells us to do here. Because when we pray, there's a way to do it. And there's a wrong way to do it. In fact, I want to take this scripture that we use all the time in James chapter 5, verse 17, or actually 16, verse 16. I want us just to look at that one verse, James 5, 16, and see what that one verse says. James 5, 16. "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. Now the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Now then, what's the very first thing there?
Confess.
What is faults? Are they sins? That faults and sins the same thing? Okay. So if faults and sins are the same thing, before we pray, technically speaking, what should we do? Confess our sin. Now then, God hates sin. Don't we know that?
Yeah, amen.
Now, he hates sin, and of course, he looks at sin a lot different than we do. And now then, I want to show you something in Romans 14, 23, in the King James Bible. I want to show you what Romans 14, 23 says. Romans 14, 23. This one says, confess your faults. Is that the King James?
Yeah,
Romans 14, 23. Oh, and he that doubteth is damned if he eats because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. In other words, if we just doubt, if we pray for somebody and we don't believe that God's going to hear our prayer, we're in sin. Is that right? In other words, if I pray for you, you ask me to pray for you, or I ask you to pray for me, and if I don't believe that he's going to hear my prayer, I was in sin. Sometimes he even answers our prayer when we're in sin. Doesn't he?
Yes.
Isn't it amazing how merciful God is? You know, if we had to meet every criteria in this book every time before we ever got our prayer answered, we'd be in trouble, wouldn't we? Deep trouble. Because, you know, most of the time, technically speaking, now, you have no idea by being a pastor and praying for as many people as I prayed for in my life, you have no idea, and I don't even have any idea, how many people that came back to me. I mean, some of them got their answer right then, some of them got it in a week, some of them got it in a month, you know, some of them got it a year later or whatever, but you have no idea how many people come back to me and say, you ain't gonna believe what happened. You ain't gonna believe this. Well, why wouldn't I believe it if I prayed in faith?
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I think about Sharon 10 years ago or 12 years ago, whatever it was, when Sharon came to me the first time. She had to be driven to the healing school by somebody else. Here she is, a young woman, but she couldn't drive her car. And she came, and after the healing school was over, she came up and she said, Pastor, I've never heard the Word of God like you preached it. But she said, I want you to know I've been prayed for over 100 times with no results. Now, if we're prayed for 100 times with no results, there's something wrong, isn't there? Because technically speaking, God heard every prayer we prayed, did he not? He just didn't answer it because it didn't meet his criteria. I told her, I said, Sharon, if you've been prayed for 100 times with no results, then I said, how long have you had this problem? She said, 27 years. Over 27 years, I've been prayed for 100 times, over 100 times. I said, okay, if you've been prayed for over 100 times with no results, I said, there's got to be a sin in your life that's blocking your answer to your prayer. Now, you know, the average person, when I say, you know, if you're not getting an answer, there's a sin in your life, you know. We don't like to hear that, do we? You're sinning. Oh, well, immediately we think, well, I'm a murderer. I'm an adulterer. No, that doesn't necessarily mean. When we read that scripture a while ago in Romans 14, 23, what is sin?
No faith.
No faith. I mean, if you just don't believe, it's sin. Anything you do that's not of faith is sin. Is that what the scripture says? So how easy is it for us to sin? Oh, my goodness. It's almost impossible to find that person, you know, that can pray every time in faith with no sin in their life. But anyway, I told Sharon, I said, you got to have a sin in your life. I said, now I want you to go back the 27 years you've had this problem. I want you to go back 27 years and let the Holy Spirit reveal to you the sin that you committed. And boy, when she asked the Lord to reveal to her that sin, you know how long it took him to remind her what the sin was? Just a heartbeat. Bam. Oh, my goodness. She said, I know what I did. It wasn't no begging or pleading. I mean, she just asked the Lord what she did, and he told her. And immediately she repented of that sin. Now then, I said that you've repented of the sin. Now then, we need to come to the Lord on behalf of a promise, because he watches over his word to perform his word. Is that right? I think that's written in Jeremiah 1:12. I think that's where you'll find that. But let's look at that right quick and look at Jeremiah 1:12 and see what that says. And he says, then he said unto the Lord, unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. He has to see his word. In other words, he watches over his word to perform his word. So I said, if the scripture says that God answers prayer according to his word, I says, what scripture had you been using to base your faith on for your healing? And she says, Thurman, I've never used a scripture. And I said, now, and you see what you got? Nothing. Now then, if the Lord says clearly here that he watches over his word to perform his word, and if we're coming to him for prayer for whatever, and Sharon had multiple things wrong with her at that time, of which one of them was a brain tumor. She had brain tumors as well as many other things. She had back problems. She had all kinds of problems, and she was a young woman. She was not an old woman. She was a young woman, and she's not meant for us to die as a young person. Yeah, somewhere along the line, if she had already been 80 years old, it might be her time to go home. Because we got, how many years did God say he'd give us? 70 to 80, somewhere in that span. That's a normal lifespan for us. He might give some of us a little more, some of us a little less, but that's the promise in Psalms 90, from the years of man shall be 70 to 80. So if you hit that, you're pretty fortunate. And if you, especially if you go beyond that and you're still healthy, you're really fortunate. You know, if you get to be 80 years old or 85 like my sister, and you can still go to Las Vegas and walk all day for two or three days, you know, you're in pretty good shape. You know, and that girl, I'm glad I wasn't with her. I'm glad she did that without me. I'm glad she didn't call and say, Herman, would you like to go to Las Vegas with me? I'd have to say, no, sis, I don't want to go. I don't want to walk up down them streets out there for 2 days or 3 days. But she did. And so, do what, huh? Oh, yeah. If the weather's pretty, her and her husband, now like this, she's 85, he's 92, and they go to the golf course and play golf once or twice a week if the weather's nice. You know, so that's why she's in good shape. That's why she looks beautiful. That's why she's slim and trim, you know, because she eats right, she exercises right, and she can hit that ball. You know, she can play a game of golf, her and her husband both. But, you know, when you see an 85-year-old woman and a 92-year-old man on a golf course once or twice a week, you know they're in pretty good shape, right, don't you? So pretty good shape. So, but anyway, she's learned how to pray and everything. So it really makes a difference. But anyway, they're both in extremely good health. So, but anyway, when we take his word, I told Sharon that day after it says, and the Lord, he's ready to perform his word. He watches over his word and he's ready to perform it. I said, so what scripture have you been using to base your faith on? Now, does that make sense? Once we repent of our sin, then we need a promise from God, right? He watches over his word, not yours. Watches over his to perform it. Then let's figure out a scripture we could use to base our faith on. Now then, like Sharon, she had all these problems in her body. I mean, she had all kinds of problems. She had allergies. She had asthma. She had back troubles. She had brain tumors. That's why I called Sharon my basket case, because she was a basket case. Now, with God, is God able to take care of a basket case? Yes, he can take care of anything. So now then, she said, well, I haven't used a scripture, so let's find us one. Now, I want you to take part in this. Let's say today this is your deal. Say it's time for us to pray over you. I want you to tell me right now, what scripture would you use if you came in here and you were sharing and you had brain tumors and you had allergies and you had asthmas and you had leg problems and you had back problems and you had all these kind of problems, and you come to me and say, Pastor Thurman, I need you to pray over me. Now then, first thing we all know, we repent of our sin, right? Now, when it says repent of sin, what kind of sin? All kinds of sin. We don't hold any little secret sins, do we? No, not any of any kind. So do you have any unforgiveness against anybody? Is that a sin? Yes. Absolutely. God said, if you do not get rid of your unforgiveness, I will not hear your prayer. We know that he's very clear. But there's all kinds of things that we do that's wrong. How about the sin of unbelief of the promises of God? Is that a pretty big one?
Yes.
Oh, yes, that's a really big one, the sins of unbelief. So, you know, we do those things all the time. And I use that as an example because this precious young lady right over here, she's the one that walked in the door and told me a while ago that, "Pastor, you ain't going to believe this." And I had to tell her to repent, and she did. Because she got this wonderful job that was way beyond anything she thought she was ever going to happen. But with God, honey, what's possible?
Anything.
That's right. And that's we need to get that in our spirits, right? So that we can say, yes, when Cheryl and I prayed for her, she should have went out here saying, "Thank you, Lord, for my good job. I'm going to get a perfect job. Cheryl and Thurman prayed with me, and we're in agreement. I know we use this scripture. We prayed in faith, so I want to thank you for this great job that pays good money, and I want to praise you." And when the people called and said, "When you should have said, hey, this is me. I'm your woman for this job." That's just like me when I was working for the corporation years ago when I was still in the workforce. Whenever they called me to Washington and told me that they'd sold the corporation and that in September, this was about 4 or 5 months down the road, they said, "In September, you will have no job. They do not have an engineering division. And so they're going to lay off all the engineers. And so they're not going to have any." So, I come back home. I went up on top of the building. I looked across the street at their big building, which was right across the street from ours. And I looked and I said, "Father, Mark 11:23 clearly says, I can speak to the mountain and the mountain will move. And therefore, whatever I say with this mouth, if I believe it with this heart, I can have it." Did he say that?
Yes.
Are we sons and daughters of the Most High God?
Yes.
Yes, we are. And so I said, "Father, I don't know who the engineer is that takes care of that facility, but I ask you to give him a better job." Now, you notice the way I use that?
Yeah.
Bless him, Lord. Give him a better job. Fulfill everything that he needs, but give him a better job. Move him out and then let me have that job because I've been traveling as a regional engineer all these years. I am now ready to stay at home. I don't want to travel anymore, so I want to stay at home. So I claim to be the head engineer over this facility here, and it's mine in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Okay, so a month or two goes by and somebody says, "Hey, Thurman, we understand that all this word gets around everybody, you know. They said, we understand that they bought this company and they're going to close out the engineering division. So what are you going to do?" I said, "I'm going to be the head engineer over there." They said, "Well, how do you know that? Have you been over and talked to them?" I said, "No, I don't work for them. I talk to the master. I talk to the head boss." "Well, how do you know the CEO?" I said, "It's real clear. You know, the CEO that we work, who is the CEO we work for?
Jesus.
It's Jesus. It ain't the CEO of that company. He's just a man there. The CEO you and me work for is way above the CEO of that company, right?"
Amen.
I'd already told him, "Lord, I want that job. Thank you. It's done. So it's my job. So I'm telling everybody, it's my job. Thank you, Lord. It's done. I'm going to get it. And I'm telling everybody." And then finally it come down to within about a week of the time that my job was over. And they said, "Thurman, have you been over and talked to them yet?" I said, "No, I haven't yet, but I'm fixing to go." And they said, "Hey, Thurman, you have not even talked to them. And you've been telling us for months, you're going to be the head engineer over there." I said, "I am. I guarantee I'm going to be." And then, what did the Lord say I could have Mark 11:23? Now then, if you doubt, what's going to happen? It ain't going to work. So anyway, it's a week till the end. So I walked across the street, walked over and walked in the office. And I walked up to the secretary there at the front desk. And I said, who's the VP here? And she told me his name, said he's upstairs right above this office, is his office. I said, so is he in? She said, yes, he is. And so I said, okay, I need to go up and see him. She said, well, who are you? And I said, well, I'm the engineer for the company that y'all purchased. Oh, she said, okay. So she just directed me right on up there, and I knocked on the door and walked in, and there was the vice president and his director sitting there. And I walked in and I said, "Hi, men." I said, "I'm Thurman Scrivener. I was the regional engineer over here." And I said, "I thought I'd come over and see, since they're going to close me out and we're not going to have an engineer over there, I thought I'd come over and see what you guys got to do to me." And Charles Ashcraft, which was the director, he said, Thurman, you were the regional engineer for that company all those years? I said, yes. He said, man, are you perfect. Said, the engineer's been here 10 years, walked in this morning, told us he's been moved to Florida. And so we were sitting there wondering, where are we going to find a man that could run this place for us? He said, boy, are you right on time. What can God do? Okay, now let me tell you what he did. Right after I made that statement, the Lord took this man's wife, which was an American Airlines hostess. He took her that was based in Dallas and moved her to Miami, Florida. Now she's been down there for 3 or 4 months, and they're trying to get together every once in a while when they can, because he's up here and she's down there, and she's traveling all over the world, and so he can't hardly ever get in touch with his wife. That's not really a good deal. You know, when you're married, you like to have one to go to dinner with once in a while anyway, you know, to talk with or whatever. So anyway, he couldn't ever get through to her hardly. So anyway, whenever finally the guy that owned the plant, not owned it, nobody owned these big buildings, you know, the other corporation, but the man that was the general manager down there, he called this engineer here at Dallas and said, you worked for me for several years here at that plant. And he says, we're going to open up all new maintenance and everything here. And I need somebody to run the whole show over 3 buildings and a big truck shop and everything. And I just happened to think you would be the perfect man, and I could give you this much money. Would you come down and to Miami and take over for me? And he said, man, would I ever. Said, my wife is already down there. She's bought a house. She's flying for American down there. So that would be perfect. Yes, I'll take it. Now he gets to move back in with his wife, and he gets more money. So how could you be blessed more than that? You see what happened? Well, when we're talking about jobs, Mary just told us last week that her and Tony, that the job we prayed for her for, she finally got it, right?
Amen.
Yeah. So it's amazing when we pray over things, what God does for us. And Mary wanted a job that was close to home. And I think you said you're only like 12 minutes or something like that, right, Mary? Just a few minutes. Does God answer prayer?
Yes,
he answers prayer when we do things in faith. Now then, you know, if we had prayed and Mary went around and said, well, I don't think this is going to work. You know, I know Thurman prayed, but you know, he don't ever get many prayers answered anyway. So I know God's not very big enough. He couldn't do this. I mean, there's no way God could do something like that for me. Well, if you got that kind of attitude, he's not going to do nothing for you. You know that? But you have to go around and tell what you think that he's going to do. And so by doing that, they moved me right in and I took that job, and the man that was there, he moved out. And of course, the beautiful part about it, I didn't know until we had 1 week together. And as I worked over there with him that week, and he showed me around, showed me his office and all the different things, where different things were and everything, so I would have a little bit of knowledge of the building. I stayed there with him every night till 8 or 9 o'clock. And of course, during the course of the day, walking around, besides the building and the equipment, guess what we talked about?
Jesus.
That's exactly right. Well, guess who didn't know Jesus? He didn't know Jesus. So anyway, by the time the week was over, Friday night, I told him, I said, now, his name was Vinny. I said, Vinny, this Jesus that I've been talking about, that you're already seeing him answer prayer for me in this place. I said, how would you like to make that God Lord of your life? He said, Thurman, I would love it. I don't have a clue how to do that. I said, I know how. And so I led him in a prayer. He accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And it changed his life forever. Now then, if we realize there is a set way to do things, what can we literally get from God? Anything we ask him for in faith after we go by the Word of God, the way the Word of God's written, right? So if we use the Word just like it's written, God tells us what to do. And the first thing was, you know, that we get rid of our sin. Is that right? Because if we come to God with sin in our life, is he going to answer that prayer?
No,
he will not. He absolutely will not answer your prayer if you've got sin in your life. Now, the biggest sin that's in the church today is the sin of unbelief. You know, that's where we fall through the cracks in so many areas. God gives us these wonderful promises. Now, I want you, as we think about these promises, I would like for just 3 or 4 of you to just tell me one of the great and awesome promises that you love to stand on and that you use on a regular basis that you see God answer your prayer. Kim held her hand up. What scripture do you use, Kim?
Matthew 18:19.
Okay, Scott, you and your wife use Matthew 18:19 a lot because two of you agree on earth as touching anything you ask me for, it might be done. That's not what he said. It shall be done. So did he mean that? Scott, you use that verse all the time with people praying for them, and you see all kinds of wonderful things happen, do you not?
Yes.
Okay, so there's one verse, Matthew 18:19. Who else? John 15:7. And what does that say, Miss Judy? Now, is that pretty awesome? That's a good one, huh? Where's that? Isaiah what? Isaiah 55:10-11. Okay. Now then. What's that, honey?
John 14:13-14.
Okay, what does that say?
Whatsoever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And I wasn't married to him.
Okay, now here's the thing. Here's the thing that Cheryl did, though. I do know this because she told me later that, like I told her, I said, now you take that verse, when she called me and we prayed and we used that verse, I told her, I said, now go back in there and take your Bible. And every time a doctor comes in to tell your daddy that he ain't gonna live, you tell him, I thank you for the information, but I don't receive it. I have God's word, and God's promises clearly says that whatever I ask for in the name of Jesus will be done for me. I said, so you have to believe that now, Cheryl, with no doubt in your heart. And she went back in there with a Bible on her lap, and every time a doctor come in, and her daddy was comatose a lot of the time, in fact, all the time, okay, she said, and they'd already been telling her that it's over, call in the family, he's going to die today, and all that stuff, so it can't happen, you know, it's impossible, you know, and she said, well, he's going to die today. She said, no, he's not going to die today, because I have the Word of God, and I'm believing. In fact, she even called me one time and told me, and I said, well, Cheryl, how old is he? And she said, well, she's at 85. I said, well, he's already lived his full life. I said, why don't you just let him go home? She said, I am not ready for him to go home. Now, he's already lived 85 years. Now, that's beyond what God told us, 70 to 80 and maybe a little extra special. But, you know, he lived 85 years. But she was not willing to give up at 85. Now, God honored her prayer because it wasn't her dad's prayer of faith. Her dad, he didn't know nothing about Jesus hardly at all. He thanked God. He had a wonderful daughter that knew the Word of God. Because if it hadn't been, he wouldn't be where he is today. But because he had this girl that stood on God's word and would not even falter. It is written. He's going to live and not die. It is written. Lord, raise him up. In fact, when she called me and we talked, I said, well, Lord, give him at least another year. He's already 80. I said, honey, sure, you know he's got to die. She said, oh, yeah, I know he's got to die, but I just ain't ready for him to die today. I said, okay. So I said, let's just agree in prayer then on this scriptures that he has got to die. Do we all know we got to die someday? Yeah. I mean, you know, you can't live forever. I guess you could, but if you had enough faith, but I ain't never met nobody had that kind of faith except Jesus. But anyway, she was going to stand on the word of God and she was going to believe God's word. And she said, and when we agreed in prayer the second time, we agreed that the Lord would let him have at least another good year. And he would fully recover and go back to work and everything, drive his car and everything. And then when it come his time to go, the Lord would just take him home suddenly with no sickness and no hospital stay. Now, can you pray that kind of prayer? Of course you can. I mean, do you know at 85 or 86, somewhere along the line, he's going to have to go home? You know, I mean, I don't know when my sister and her husband are going to go home. They may outlive all of us. I don't know. You know, I don't know. But I know that she's 85 and he's 92. And boy, they are in some kind of good health. And so, I mean, you know, it's amazing, isn't it? They think right. They exercise right. They eat right and everything. You know, she just. But the main thing that my sister does, she is a spiritual woman. You know. Spiritual exercise profits much. You know that? She's in the Word. You know, she's been a Sunday school teacher in that Baptist church. Man, I mean, she is a woman of God. She studies the Word. She reads the Word. I mean, I can remember when I first started learning these things that we're talking about today, when I'd go by my sister's house and stop and talk with her, have dinner with her or something, I can remember sitting there in her living room, sometimes till 11 or 12 o'clock at night, we're just talking about the Word of God. That's all we talked about, the Word. And I can remember several times when I'd show her these promises and things, she said, Thurman, I've been teaching the Bible many years longer than you have. And she says, how did you get this revelation? I said, well, all I can say, sis, is God revealed this to me. You know, God revealed these things to me. He had a plan for me. Don't you believe that? That God had a plan for me, that He raised me up before the foundations of the world. Just like Paul said, He knew my name. He knew He was going to bring me on the road to Damascus, or He was going to bring Paul. Same kind of deal with Paul He has for me and has for you. He has a plan for you, and He's going to use you for His glory. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Absolutely. He has a plan. Now then, unless we get all stupid and get in there and stop believing, we're going to get to see the promises, right? But if we get in there and God's trying to do something wonderful in our life and all we can do is talk negative, you know, it ain't going to happen. So, but when we see His Word, when we see what He says there, that just like that scripture says, you shall ask anything in my name and I will do it. Now then, Jack and I was talking about this scripture that neither one of us liked this scripture, but it's in the book. And it's in Hebrews 10, 35 and on. I want you to look at this, Hebrews 10, 35. Cast not away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Yeah, no, the next verse, 36. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. For you have need of, and this is the one Jack and I don't like. For you have need of what?
Patience.
Patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive your promise. So, let's say that I like it the way it did it for Sharon. Sharon came to me. She'd been prayed for 100 times. Now, of course, one time I told her, I said, you know, you got instantly healed. She said, Pastor, what do you mean I got instantly healed? I suffered for 30 years. Well, that's not quite an instantaneous healing, is it, Mary? Sharon had been prayed for and had not ever thrown away her confidence in the Word, but she believed the Word and she was doing what she's supposed to be doing. When she finally found out, had to repent of the sin, stand on the scripture, and then have somebody pray for her in faith after 30 years of suffering and pain and going to the doctor over and over and over for years and years and years. That day, Sharon was completely healed. When I told her, I said, you got instantly healed. She said, Pastor, I didn't get instantly healed. I got healed after 30 years of suffering. Now, see, that's the part Jack and I don't like. Is that right, Jack? We don't like to have to suffer for 20 or 30 years, do we? Wasn't that right, Sharon? Wasn't it about 20 or 30 years? 30 years, right? Yeah, 30 years she suffered. Now then, but she never threw away her confidence in the Word. She didn't understand. There she was, a young woman. Now, what if Sharon had already been 75 or 80 when she come to me the first time? Now then, chances are she ain't going to make it 30 years, is she? You know, so that's the whole thing. That's why some people die early, but Sharon still has lots of good young years ahead of her. And so she's still a young woman, even now, even after getting healed, but she suffered for 30 years. But she didn't cast away her confidence in the Word. But you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you will receive your promise. And did all that happen for her? Yes, it did. Now then, the older we are, when something comes upon us like this, the quicker we need to be healed. Is that right?
Right?
Yeah. The quicker we need to be healed. Because if I'm already 70 years old, or like myself, 76 years old, if I'm already 76, I'm halfway between that 70 and 80 already. You know, so I want to go way on past the 80, really. I do. I want to really, really be in good health. I want to be able to still run and play. In fact, the other day, my daughter-in-law out here, how old is Maraca? You have any idea? 35 or 30, yeah, probably about 35. Yeah, that's right. I'm sure she's somewhere 35, 36. Oh, Tim, he's 39. So her and her girlfriend had their bicycles on the back of their car the other day. And I pulled up there and they were just putting their bicycles back up. And I said, you girls out for a ride? And she said, yes, we're practicing to be like my father-in-law. That's me. I said, what do you mean by that, girl? She said, when I get to be 76 years old like you are, I want to be in as good a shape as you are. So we've been out getting our exercise today, riding our bikes. I said, how far did y'all ride? She said, 50 miles. Now, she is a lean, mean machine, let me tell you. That girl ain't no fat on her nowhere. And of course, Tim ain't none on him either. You know, that boy, he runs 20, 25, 30 miles at a time when he runs. He exercises and everything. And so there they were, those two girls, wanting to ride. And they did. They rode their bicycles 50 miles that day. When's the last time you rode a bicycle 50 miles? I ain't never rode one 50 miles. I hope I don't ever have to. But they're going to stay in good shape because they've seen me stay in good shape. I've kept myself in pretty good physical shape. You know, I try not to overeat. And I made a New Year's resolution last night after Cheryl and I went to eat. I said, we went out to eat, and she said, what do you want to eat? I said, nothing, absolutely nothing. I had lunch yesterday. She said, okay, I want this. And she named to the people what she wanted. Then I want this. And they said, well, what size? We got three sizes on the bowl of soup. Which one do you want? She said, well, what do they look like? So they got a small one, a middle size, and a great big one. She said, I'll take that great big one. Okay, so she takes the big one, and then she wants a bowl of strawberries and cream and all that stuff, and I don't eat nothing. I said, I don't want nothing. So we sat down, and I knew just exactly like it happens every time. She sits down there, she eats about three bites of this and three bites of that and three bites of that. She says, I'm full. Now guess who's going to have to eat all that? Me. I have to eat all that. So I decided last night, okay, from now on, anything she ordered, we're going to order it half to start off with. We're going to order it half, and then she's going to eat what she wants. If there's anything left, I'll eat. And if there's not anything left, then I didn't eat anything anyway. But I'm not going to get overweight. I'm going to stay slim and trim. It's difficult with living with this woman. It's difficult. When here's the thing I tell Cheryl. I said, the one thing about you, your eyes are bigger than your stomach. She said, that's what my mama always told me. My mother always told me, because that's what she does. She'll go in and say, well, I want this, and I want this size, you know. And then she eats three bites out over here to the side, and then she's full. And so then somebody got to eat that, and so it usually winds up being me.
That's why you have to-go boxes, honey.
Do what, honey?
That's why you have to-go boxes.
Oh, that's why? Oh, okay. Okay, so just like the other night down at Mom's Cafe, we went down there, and I took her and Caitlin both down there, and when they said, what do you want? I said, I don't want nothing, just a glass of tea. That's all I want. When I got two girls here that eat a full order, I know what's going to happen. There's going to be a giant amount left for both of them, and sure enough, there was enough left for me to pig out and then to bring it home and the puppy dog pig out, and we all had more than we needed. So, I mean, to tell you, but anyway... I don't know how I got off on that, off of my healing, on the eating too much. I don't know how I got off of that, but I did. I had a New Year's resolution. Okay, I think that we need to really ask the Lord this year, all of us that are His sons and daughters, to really take the wire brush of the Holy Spirit and ask Him to cleanse and purify our hearts and get the sin of unbelief out of our heart. You know, I mean, we need to be clean. Now, just a few scriptures that we went over today and the things we've talked about, if we get rid of sin and we walk in faith, what is going to be impossible with us? That scripture that Judy used there a while ago, Judy, if we use your scripture, what's impossible? Nothing. But the one Cheryl used, what's impossible? Nothing. The one y'all use, what's impossible? I mean, all over the place. God didn't just give us one or two scriptures, did he? But he did tell us we must believe. And of course, it's James 1, 6 and 7. It's this clincher that stops us from... I didn't realize when I first started studying the Word of God that this book meant exactly what it said and that God had limited himself to this scripture. Isn't that something? When you learn, he really means what he says. But let, he says in verse 6 of James, he says, James 1, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Now, what did he say a while ago in Romans 14? That anything you do that's not of faith is sin? And if we have sin in our life, is he going to answer our prayer? No. So he says here, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, so that whenever we come to the Lord, like Sharon and I did that day, when she repented of her sins. Now, you know, like I say, she'd had 30 years of suffering, and that's enough for anybody, don't you think? Yeah. Yeah. She had 30 years of suffering. So when I told her one day, I said, you got to instantly heal. And that's when she just jumped all over me. She said, Pastor, I had suffered for 30 years. That was not an instantaneous healing. Well, and when I got to thinking about that, she's right. That's not an instantaneous healing. If she had just got sick a week ago, it would be a different story, right? But she had been sick for 30 years, and that's a long time. But once she repented of her sin, once we took a scripture and we found it, and now then when we pray, according to this scripture, how do I have to pray to make this work? Now, that's tougher than it sounds. Yeah, that's really tougher than it sounds. You know, when, I mean, you know, you think, just like this young lady over here, if I were to ask her right now, do you believe that if we prayed for you a good job, God could give you one? What would be your answer?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Why are you answering that so quick now? Yes. When this morning when you walked in, you said, Pastor, you ain't going to believe this. You see what I mean? Because it has already come to pass. Yes. But the more of those kind of things you see God do for you, the greater will be your faith that next time, you'll say, hey, we can ask God. He'll do it. Is that right?
That's right.
That's what we do. He says, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Next verse. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Now then, if I have doubt, and who knows my heart? God knows your heart better than you know your heart, by far, I guarantee. And so when you pray, if you have the least amount of doubt in your heart, now, how are you going? Now, in your head, you'll always have doubt in your head. I mean, the enemy, he will jump right on your head and say, you know, now, you old crazy, stupid guy, you don't really think God's going to do anything good for an old wicked critter like you. He'll just call you all kinds of things because he knows every mistake you ever made in your whole life. Doesn't he?
Yep.
He knows everything you ever done wrong. He knows every word that you ever spoke. I mean, he could even go back, and it's amazing. When I start to pray for somebody, there a little thought come. You know, you remember when you were 18, that foul mouth you had? You don't really think God would answer a prayer for an old boy like that? Now, I hadn't thought about that in 50 years. Where do you think that's coming from?
Yeah.
Of course. And he don't ever forget nothing, does he? No, he knows how to accuse us, doesn't he? Oh, you old worthless girl, you. You know God ain't going to do nothing for an old wicked girl like you. He does that to us, doesn't he? But you've got to realize he is a liar, and that when you repented of that sin, he put it as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again, right? And that's what we have to remember. You know, I mean, Cheryl and I, you know, this last couple of weeks, we've had a real battle, you know, as she has kind of come down with something, and I'm trying to tell her, but you're healed. This is what the Word says, you're healed. But honey, I feel so bad. You know, I'm going to stay in bed a couple of hours extra. I said, get out of that bed, woman, get up. And she said, you would have thought I was physically abusing my wife. And all I'm trying to do is beat the Word into her, crazy. But she needed somebody to, you know. I mean, every time she had any kind of a fast, I said, let's get up and go to the kitchen and have a snack to eat. oh, I feel so bad. I don't think I can make it to the kitchen. I said, woman, you know you can make it to the kitchen. But she didn't think she could. So guess what? She couldn't. You know? So she'd just have to go back to bed and lay there for a couple more hours, and then I'd have to go drag her out. What fun it was the last 2 weeks. Finally got her in about halfway decent shape. Got her out here last Sunday, and she was, the time the music was over, she just wore plumb out. She come and told me, she said, I'm going back to bed. And she left. She went back, turned her phone on, listened to us on the phone, back there laying there in the bed. Couldn't even stay for church. Is that faith or not? No, that ain't no faith. She didn't have no faith at all. But you know, that happened. Does that happen to all of us?
Yes.
I mean, it can happen to any of us and all of us when the enemy, or when God puts us to the test. And he's good at testing us, isn't he, Jack? He's very good at testing us. If we don't believe he'll do what he said, if we repent of our sin and we pray the prayer of faith and we get a scripture to stand on, to base our faith on, and all of God's promises are
yes and amen.
Yes and amen. Is that right?
Yep.
Where's that found? Somebody tell me where that's found. 2 Corinthians 1:20. Just to make sure everybody sees that, let's put that on the board. I want you to see 2 Corinthians 1:20. For how many of the promises of God? So what did we not understand about all the promises of God in Christ, or yes, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us? Is God trying to work with us? He's really trying, isn't he? But we don't believe him. So I want every one of us right now to say, Lord, I repent for not believing these promises. Because you said, I am righteous. So I am the righteousness of God in Christ. So when I pray for anybody, you will answer my prayer every time in the name of Jesus. Now then, if we've repented of our sins, now let's go back to James 5, 14 and 15 and 16. We'll start with verse 14. What does that first line say? Is any sick among you? Is there anybody in this place today that's sick or that has a problem? Okay, anybody that's got, I want you to hold up your hand. If you need to be prayed for, I want everybody, anybody that knows they have a physical problem of any kind, I want you to hold up your hand. Okay. Okay. If you got any kind of a need, whatever. But if the main thing it says, is any sick among you? Okay. So if you got anything that's made you sick, I want you to be thinking, okay, Lord, how long have I had this? What sin could I have committed that caused this to come upon me? I repent. I'm going to repent for my sin. Now, then one of the big ones is unforgiveness, right? Yeah. And another big one is unbelief. Is that right? And grumbling and complaining. Yeah, we don't want no grumbling and complaining. God hates grumbling and complaining. So is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. Now, do we have any elders of the church in here?
Yeah.
We do have. We got some men of God that's in here that can lay hands on you, that can anoint you with oil, that can pray the prayer of faith. It says, call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, that doesn't sound too difficult, does it? God didn't make it hard. He made it so simple that any of us can do this. Then the next verse, what does verse 15 say? And the prayer of faith. And the prayer of faith. Now, if somebody that held up your hand that wants to be prayed for, when we get ready to pray here in a minute, if we get you out here in the aisle and seat you in a chair or whatever, and then we go up and down, all of us elders that are going to pray, and I will invite today, as we're going to pray for people, I'm going to invite every elder in this church, any man that's got his sins confessed, that believes that you are an anointed man of God, that God has made you the righteousness of God in Christ, I want you to be out here with us We're going to go up and down whoever this aisle with these chairs we're going to put right in the middle. We've never done this like this, but we're going to do it like this today. In fact, I want some of you men on the back row back there to pick up some of those chairs and bring them out here and put 6 or 8 or 10 of them right down the middle of this aisle right here. Anybody that's back there, just whoever you are, pick up a chair, bring it up here and start right here in the front. Put a chair right here, and then right behind it, put another chair. Yeah, put them right there. Yeah, put chairs. Yeah, we can get in between. Yeah, okay, right there. Okay, get them far enough apart. Yeah. Yep, where they can sit down. Anybody that needs to be in these chairs, we just put a row of seats all the way down. Bring one more up here at the front, if you will. Bring one more right up here and put it right here. Give them plenty of room in between. Now then, the people that held up your hand that has a need for prayer today, that if you're come here sick, I want you to get up and come up here and start right here, number one, two. I want anybody that held up their hand that has a need, a physical need, I want you in these chairs. If you're sick and you have a need, come on up here, Ida. But we'll put you right here and then we're going to get some. Okay, bring me some more chairs. Put you right here. Ferris, come up here. We're going to set you beside your wife. Somebody bring a chair for Ferris. Bring him right here beside his wife. Put one right here. Yeah, put one right here and then we'll put some across the front if we have to. Okay, Ferris, come over here and sit down in this chair right here. Get right here beside your lovely bride right there. And these others, set these chairs right out here. Yeah, praise God. Yeah, okay, sit down right there, brother. We still got people need to be prayed for. Who else is sick that does not have a chair? You need a chair? Okay. Bring me another chair up here at the front. Bring one or two more chairs up here and put it right out here at the front. Okay, now bring those chairs right there. Yeah, bring them right out here. Now I want any man that knows he's a man of God, that he's got his sins confessed, and that he is a man of God and believes that he's a righteous of God in Christ, I want you up here as a prayer warrior. I want those of you that know that you're sons of God, I want you up here. Come on, let's get these guys up here. I need some men to pray. Come on, Mike, I need you. Scott, get up here. Okay. Every man that knows he's a man of God, knows that God is Jesus Christ is his Lord and Savior, and he believes in his heart that when he touches somebody in the name of Jesus, God's going to answer your prayer. I want you to do, does everybody that has a need for a seat, are you setting down somewhere? Everybody, is there anybody that needs to be prayed for?
There's one back there.
Okay, we got one more. Bring one more chair up here.
There's a chair right here.
Yeah.
There's a chair right here.
Oh, there's a chair. Okay, we got a chair up here on the front. We got somebody else needs to be prayed for, put them right here. Miss Judy, you know prayer works in this place, don't you? Yes. Sit down right there. Okay. Anybody else that needs to be prayed for? Okay. Now then, this place belongs to who?
Jesus.
Belongs to the Lord.
Yes.
This is a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is this right?
Yes.
Do we believe that God is a healing God?
Yes.
There's no doubt in our heart that he's a healing God.
Yes.
He, just a few scriptures we went over today, he showed us in his word that his promises are yes and amen. He showed us the promises. He showed us what he would do. He showed us in there in James 5, 14, 15, and 16, that if we go down through here and touch you with oil and pray a prayer of faith over you, did he promise to heal every one of you?
Yes.
Yes. Now then, all you got to do is believe. Is that right?
Yes.
All you got to do is make sure your sins are confessed. And then we're going to use that wonderful promise, James 5, 14, 15, and 16, that says, is any sick among you? Is any sick among you? Let them call for the elders. Are you, ladies and gentlemen, calling us elders to pray over y'all?
Yes.
You're calling the elders of the church to pray over you and anoint you with oil, and we will pray the prayer of faith. And the Lord says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord shall heal you. The Lord shall raise you up. Is that what he said?
Yes.
It's his word. It's not my words. That's his words. Is that right? It's the word of God. So everybody here, I don't care what you have. I don't care what you've been diagnosed with. According to God, is anything hard for God?
No.
No, anything. He can do anything that you can believe him for.
Amen.
I mean, after all, he was the God that spoke one day and said, let there be. And what happened? The whole world and everything happened, right?
Amen.
And the cosmos out there. So I guarantee Healing is no problem for the master. He can heal you and he will heal you, but you have to believe. Amen. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, we got this oil. Okay, I'm going to go down. I'm going to start right over here on the very front, and I'm going to come down this row, and I'm going to put a little bit of oil on each one of these people. I'm going to go down here and go all the way down the back and all the way back up and back there. And then as I go, and once I touch them, put a little oil on them, and say, be healed in the name of Jesus, then I want you, each one of you men that are up here, to follow along behind me and to touch them and pray anything you want to pray, pray, because the Lord said your prayer of faith will heal the sick. Is that what he said?
Amen.
So I'm going to leave that up to you and God, however you want to do that, but I know what he can do. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to touch Richard and say, be healed in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. I'm going to touch her and be healed. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. From the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed in Jesus' name. From the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. According to the Word of God, be healed in Jesus' name. Father, thank you for complete healing from the top of each one of these people's head to the bottom of their feet. Lord, this is your healing church, not ours. You're the mighty healer. In the name of Jesus. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you're the mighty God. You're the King of kings and Lord of lords. And complete healing from the very tops of their heads to the bottom of their feet. In Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for complete healing. No problem. Miss Barbara, in the name of Jesus, on the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, you're completely healed. Be healed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, be healed. In Jesus' name. Yes, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we praise you and thank you. Father, in Jesus' name, I anoint this man with oil in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. I anoint you with oil in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, be completely healed. In Jesus' name, Father, I thank you for complete healing for everybody in Jesus' name. Now, every man, you just sit there and wait for this entire row of men, anointed men of God, to come down and pray the prayer of faith over you, and you will be healed. Did God promise it?
Amen.
He promised it in his word. All we got to do is believe him today, because this is his church. This is his healing. I'll have to say that while they're praying, one time God moved on my heart to do something special that I'd never done before. And we prayed for about 25 or 30 people that day. And every person in that church was healed that day.
Yes.
And some of you are here. Some of you are here today. We saw Jesus come in and heal everybody that day. Everybody. That was the only time in my life I've ever seen everybody healed. But that day, we saw him heal all of them. Today is going to be the second time that's going to happen. We're going to pray, and everybody here is going to be healed in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you for healing everybody in Jesus' name. Now, then, you've got to do your part. You stay in the Word. You continue to praise him, worship him, and thank him that you have been prayed for in faith, and you are healed. You have to believe that. We know that, don't we, Miss Ida?
Yes, thank you, Lord.
We've been healed before.
Yes.
We know. We know that, don't we, Ferris?
Yes, yes.
We know he's a healing God, right?
Yes,
he'll heal you and her and everybody else here in the name of Jesus. All you got to do is get up. I will have to say that the last time I did this, of course, I'm going to tell this on this girl. Miss Kim Smith, she wouldn't even come up to the front. She wouldn't even come out and get in the chair. But God so wanted to heal everybody that day, he healed her sitting in her own chair. She didn't even have to come up. She had virtually no faith, and he still healed her. And that's been years ago, and she's been totally healed ever since. He wants to heal his people. All you got to do is believe. If we would just believe at all, he'll do it every time for us. There's no two ways about it. He is an awesome God. So, you know, don't take this lightly. You know, this is something that the Lord told us to pray one for another. Did he not? Pray one for another. Confess our faults one to another that you may be healed. And his word means what it says. So we're going to believe it, every one of us today. Everyone, from the tops of our head to the bottom of our feet. And that includes me. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I believe it. I'm healed. Praise God. You know, absolutely everything in my body is working perfect. in Jesus' name. My head, my toes, my hearing, my eyes, my foot, all my offering, everything in my body, from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, is working perfect in Jesus' name. I'm believing that, Lord. I'm believing that. In fact, I'll anoint my own self with a little oil, Lord. I ain't got much left, but I'll put it on me too. Praise God. Because I believe it works. Don't you, Miss Judy? Praise the Lord. Glory to God in the highest. This is a hospital for people, the saints that needs to be healed. We have seen the Lord heal thousands of people through this church. He is the healer. And he can do exceedingly abundantly above all we can even think or imagine. And we thank him for the privilege of letting all of us pray for each one of you today, knowing that if you stand on his promises with us, guarantee you have received your healing. Now, if it takes a day or a week or a month, don't you doubt his word. Believe him and you will receive your healing. It will happen. Praise the Lord. And then everybody, as you get through praying, we'll just go sit down. If you're an elder and you've prayed and you get through praying for everybody, just sit down till we get everybody sat down, then we know it's all done. I don't want to stop this before it's all done. I want everybody to be prayed for. I don't want nobody to be cut short. Now then, praise the Lord. All you men that sat down, how many of you know that Jesus Christ made you the righteousness of God in Christ? So he said, when the prayer of a righteous man availeth much, that's us, isn't it? That's us. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. He done everything for us. He made me and you the righteousness of God in Christ, didn't he? We're not on our own, but on his power. He made us righteous. So we can pray the prayer of faith because we know we're sons and daughters of God. We know that because it's written in that book. Is it not, Miss Jackie? It's written in that book. So we're sons and daughters of God, and we praise the Lord. Now, all of you that have been prayed for, has everybody been prayed for several times? Okay. Okay, we still like just a little. Okay. Let me ask this question. How many of you that have been prayed for believe you are healed? Yes. Amen. With no doubt in your heart. Do you have to believe with no doubt in your heart? Is that what he said? No doubt. Miss Judy, how much doubt can you have?
No doubt.
That's what the scripture says,
right,
isn't it?
That's right.
And so this is not some book me and you wrote, is it?
No, sir.
This book is the book.
The book.
The book. Okay. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Praise the Lord. Are we all done? Okay, we still got a couple. Okay. Okay, praise the Lord. Yeah, come by and anoint and praise over all these people. They've all been anointed with oil. I anointed everybody here with some oil. Praise the Lord. And did the Lord say, anoint with oil?
Yes.
And did he say the prayer of faith?
Yes.
Well, see, the thing about it is, with this many men praying for you, I guarantee there's at least one praying in faith. You can't miss. It might have only been Frank, but at least it was somebody, right? Somebody prayed in faith for you, right? I'm hoping all of you got prayed in faith by everybody that prayed for you. But we know at least one did. You know you got prayed for in faith. You can't miss with this many men of God praying for you in faith. You know that you've been prayed for in faith. So praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Oh, right, all right, all right. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Now, like I say, every once in a while, God moves on my heart to do something unique. And this is a different thing. I've never done this before, but I had never done that before that night when I walked up there, when the Lord spoke to me that night and told me, said, son, I have many people here today that has pain in their body. I want you to invite them up front and I'm going to heal them up here. And so I just said, the Lord just spoke to me, said, if you have pain in your body, I want you to come up. And I thought, well, there'd be two or three or four. I had no idea there'd be 25 or 30. Yeah, but today we had a good bunch too, but still the thing, that day when that 25 or 30 or whatever it was people came up, some didn't come up, like I say, Kim didn't come up, but she got healed anyway, it made no difference. You'd had that back trouble how many years, Kim?
7 years.
How many?
7 years.
7 years, and didn't even come up, and God healed you at your chair. Isn't he awesome? Nobody even prayed for you specifically that day. You just sat there at the chair and got healed. Now, is God an awesome God? He is an awesome God. Oh, she found her sin? Oh, okay. So you did find the sin that day and repented of your sin. Okay, so praise the Lord. So anyway, as we have done that, many times we have done it, but that day when people started coming up and I started praying over them, I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. I said, I just told the first person, I said, well, just stand right there and I'll just start praying over you. And I said, when your pain goes away, go sit down. The Lord said, only people had pain. So only people that came up had pain, back pain or whatever. So I'd start praying. Some of them say, wow, in just half a minute, my pain just left. And I said, well, praise God. Then I'd get the next one and I'd pray for 5 minutes and it's still there. And I'm thinking, well, what did I do wrong this time? Oh, that other in half a minute. And then all of a sudden they say, oh, my pain just left. And I said, uh-oh, God's going to do this his way all the way around, Jack.
He just healed my right knee.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Jack was just telling us out there that he had to climb up to 11,000 foot on a mountain with his grandsons and all that stuff and carry a tent and all kinds of stuff. And the time he got to the top, his knee was really hurting him. And he come in this morning and asked me and Ted to pray for him. We did. But just now, he had a special time. Just now, Jack's knee was completely healed, sitting right there at the seat. Thank you, Lord, for healing all these people. Thank you for healing all of us, Lord. We want to give you praise. While they're finishing praying, let's just raise our hands and let's just praise him and thank him that he is the healer. Lord, we thank you that you're here today, that you're the mighty God. You're the King of Kings. You're the Lord of Lords. And Lord, that you take away our pain. You fix our bodies. You heal them. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, and we love you and praise you that you are such a mighty God, that you're such a merciful God, and that you give us this wonderful book. And we praise you and thank you for all the healings that you've done, because we believe in all of our heart, every one of us that prayed for all these people, including the people that were prayed for, we believe they're healed. We believe that you healed every one of them because we did what you told us to do. We have anointed them with oil. We prayed the prayer of faith for them. They've repented and confessed their faults one to another. They've gotten rid of their sin. And now then we've stood on promises, and James 5:14-15, and Lord, we believe with all of our heart that everybody here is healed from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. And Lord, again, we want to thank you for healing Jack's knee. But Lord, we want to thank you for healing everybody, everybody that had a problem. We thank you and praise you for healing them. Now, Lord, if there's anybody else that anything changed, that you believe you had a miracle right now, that you've seen or you felt any kind of pain leave your body or anything, just stand up where you are. If it has happened and say, Lord, I'm healed. In the name of Jesus, hey, praise God. Okay, we got several. What was your problem? Your pain just left? You're healed? Anybody else? Anybody else want to stand up and give God the glory and say, Lord, I'm healed. I know I'm healed in Jesus' name. I know I'm healed. Yes, praise God. Praise the Lord. Stand up there, Ferris. Praise God. We know we're healed, brother, in Jesus' name. We know, don't we, Ida? In the name of Jesus, praise God. It's a done deal. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We worship you. We thank you that you are the mighty King and that everybody here today has been miraculously healed because we know you're walking up and down these aisles. We know you're here. You said if just two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in the midst of us. So, Lord, there's a whole bunch more than two or three of us here today. So we know that you're here in the midst of us and that you're walking up and down. You're forgiving your people's sins. You're healing their problems. And Lord, this is going to be a great testimony of what happens to the people of Christ. This day, these people will go out of here telling everybody, wherever they go, I got healed. Jesus healed me this last Sunday. I just stood on his word and he healed me and I am completely healed and I'm going to stay that way and I'm going to walk in obedience to his word. So Father, I thank you for healing everybody in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay. Praise the Lord. Wow. We've had a good service today. Praise the Lord. Now then, everybody's been prayed for, right? No problems. Okay. Well, I guess you can't say anything more than, Father, we thank you and praise you for this beautiful day. We thank you and praise you for healing all these people. And we ask you to inspire all of us that we get out this week and do something good for Jesus. Lord, thank you for letting us talk to people about Jesus. Lord, we praise you and thank you that you're the mighty God, the King of Kings, and you're our Lord and our God, and you're our healer. So it's done. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen, and amen. So if you have any questions, if you want to ask any of the counselors a question or whatever, or talk with me and Cheryl, we'll still be here.